The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning is found in Paul's epistle to the Galatians chapter 6, his closing words in his epistle to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. If you have a Bible handy and you can, turn to it. Galatians chapter 6, and listen to what he says in the last few verses, verses 12 through 18. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's Paul's words in Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. I ask a question this morning. In what do you glory? In other words, what I mean by that, and what Paul's talking about here, in what do you vaunt? In what do you make a boast? Or we might say, in what do you joy? In what do you rejoice? Hear me now. Where a man's glorying lies, where a woman's glorying lies, the thing wherein they boast, the thing wherein where they joy and rejoice, that glorying manifests four things. One, it manifests where the heart lies, manifests where your heart is. Secondly, it manifests where your loyalty is, manifests where your loyalty is. Thirdly, what a person truly rests in for acceptance with God. That's what a person rejoices in. That's what a person boasts in, is what they truly rest in for acceptance with God. Whatever you rest in for acceptance with God is what you will brag about. And fourthly, where a man's glorying lies, where a woman's glorying lies, manifests whether that person is saved or whether they're lost. There is but one place of boasting that honors God and his purpose, according to the Apostle Paul. There's only one thing that he would glory in. There is but one place of boasting that God honors. All other boasting is an abomination in God's sight. For the Apostle Paul is clear, but God forbid. Do you see it? Do you see it? Are you reading it with me? Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many, that means everyone, but no one else, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. This is the only place of boasting that honors God, is to boast in Christ and his cross work. Now when he says to God forbid I should glory save in the cross, he's not talking about that piece of wood upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. He's talking about his substitutionary, penal sacrifice and satisfaction to God that he suffered while he hung on that accursed tree. So again I say, listen to me, upon the authority of God Almighty's word, there is but one place of boasting that honors God and his purpose. There is one place of boasting that honors God, where and all other boasting is an abomination in God's sight, and that boasting is in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the great adversary Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, which John the Apostle says it's already in the world. You've heard that Antichrist shall come, but even now the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Paul said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. So the great adversary Satan and the spirit of Antichrist and false teachers, they are a resilient lot of dubious liars. They cry for the cry for circumcision amongst professed believers is mostly silenced, if not silenced altogether. I understand that. You know that. Nobody's crying for circumcision today that I know of. The cry for circumcision amongst professed believers is mostly silenced, but these dubious liars are also cunning manipulators. They will use anything other than Christ and his cross work to glory in. It doesn't have to be just circumcision. At Galatia, the problem was circumcision. This is what they were bringing in. This is what they were trying to add to the message of the personal work of Christ. But these cunning, dubious, lying manipulators, they'll use anything other than Christ and his cross work to glory in. They profess faith in Christ. So did the false prophets in Galatia. They weren't denying Christ altogether. They were just saying we need something more than Christ, something added to Christ, something alongside of Christ. So they profess faith in Christ. They may well do that, but they boast in anything and everything other than Christ and his cross work alone. That kind of faith is the faith of a perverted gospel, Paul says. Look at it back in chapter 1. He said they pervert the gospel of Christ. It's not even really a gospel. Paul said it's a perversion of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. So while they may profess faith in Christ, they do not boast in Christ and his cross work alone. And that kind of faith is not the faith that God gives that's accompanied in salvation. Today they boast in the golden rule, that is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. They boast in their profession of faith. I made my profession. They boast in coming to some altar. What a God-awful thing to say and to do, to come to some altar. The apostle in Hebrews says, we have an altar which they have no right to eat. There is but one altar that is a person, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. You come to some man-made altar, you've come to an idol. You've come to something that men and women have erected to their own shame and to the dishonor of God and his Christ. So they boast in their golden rule, their supposed keeping of the golden rule. Paul said they don't keep the law. They don't keep the law. No man can keep the law. They're liars. They boast in the golden rule. They boast in the profession of faith. They boast in coming to some altar. They boast in water baptism. They boast in church attendance. They boast in their tithing. They boast in their doctrinal accuracy. They boast, in other words, in anything and everything other than Jesus Christ, his cross work, his substitutionary penal satisfaction unto God while on that tree. Why is it? Why is it that men do this? Well, we know that man is utterly depraved, totally depraved, totally corrupt by nature. And this is the fundamental flowing cause. But let me give you a couple reasons here why men do this on the overt outward thing. Some do this because who Christ is and what Christ did is lied about. They don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. Christ's cross work to many is nothing more than God giving men and women a second chance. Think about that. There are actually those out there who profess to be Christians that are preaching that the death of Jesus Christ, the cross work of Jesus Christ, was God giving men and women a second chance. What an awful message. A second chance? A second chance? Jesus Christ is not a second chance. He's the Lord of glory. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the one of whom God the Father said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. A second chance? No wonder they do not boast in that, but they turn to some work of their own. No wonder they don't boast at all. It's lies, lies about God, lies about Christ, lies about his gospel. But there's another reason. All who do boast in anything other than Christ and his cross work, it is because they do not trust that Christ got the work done. That's why. That's why they don't trust in it. They don't really believe the book of God. They don't really believe the record that God Almighty gave of his Son. Now, there is a record, and that record, the only record that is of value, the only record that matters, is found in the Holy Scripture. It's found in the Bible. It's found in the Word of God. And I want to give you several things this morning, just a few, actually. I'm going to give you about 8 things this morning, and I want to read these passages to you. And I want us to see, to hear what it was that Christ accomplished in his cross work. What was it that Jesus Christ actually did when he died on that tree? So much so that the apostle Paul, in writing to Galatia, the churches at Galatia, would make this statement again. Listen, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. And you can write in anything else in there if you wish. But here's what matters, he says, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, what is it that would cause Paul to make such a statement, such a solitary, singular statement, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. Here's number one. Here's one of the things that Jesus Christ did in his cross work. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, listen to what it says. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you see it? Jesus Christ reconciled a people to God when they were enemies, and by his death on that tree, he didn't make it possible for them to be reconciled later if they do something else. No. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you see then why Paul would say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's the truth of it. There's the crux of it. But not only that. Here's the second thing. Trespasses, actual trespasses, were not imputed. We're not imputed. Turn to 2 Corinthians and listen to what the Apostle Paul says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, or verse 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry, that is the service, the word of reconciliation. To wit, in other words, I'm going to explain, that is to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now remember, when did he do that? When Christ died on that tree. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Do you see it? The world for whom Christ died, the world for whom he suffered on that tree, their trespasses are not being imputed unto them, even when he died on that tree. Thus saith the Lord, this is the record that God Almighty has given of his Son. And then also, listen to what the Apostle Paul says in our textbook in Galatians chapter 3. And listen to what he wrote in Galatians chapter 3 concerning our Lord Jesus Christ's cross work. That is the reason why he would end this epistle with, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Listen to what he said that took place in that cross work. Galatians chapter 3, just 2 verses, verse 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you see it?
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you see it? Even faith is based upon the cross work of Christ. Faith will be given, the blessing will come for those that Christ was made a curse. That's exactly what he says. It's no wonder that Paul ended with this great crescendo in this epistle, in this letter. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything about our salvation, everything about any man or woman's salvation hinges wholly and hinges solely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, also, here's another reason why the Apostle Paul would say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, is because when he died on that tree, when he suffered on that cross, when he did his cross work, we might say, he obtained eternal redemption. Listen to Hebrews chapter 9, specifically verses 11 and 12. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, that's not the old tabernacle of the Old Testament, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Do you see that? He obtained eternal redemption. This is why the Apostle Paul unquestionably would write, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing. He obtained eternal redemption. He didn't make redemption possible, let alone eternal redemption. It's the redemption that God promised and purposed before the world began. And Christ in his cross work fulfilled all the demands of that. He fulfilled everything that was necessary to actually obtain that eternal redemption right then when he died on that tree. So it is no wonder to those that truly have a God-given faith. They hear the record that God gave of his son, and they hear that God has said that in his son, in his cross work, he obtained eternal redemption. They believe it. They rest in it. They rely upon it. No wonder, Paul said, but God forbid. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a fifth thing. Here's a fifth thing. When Jesus Christ suffered on that tree, when Jesus Christ did that cross work, that substitutionary penal satisfaction to God, Jesus Christ sanctified and perfected a people. Listen to Hebrews 10. And listen to what it says in Hebrews 10. And mainly, I will read verses 8 through 14. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that is the old covenant, the old sacrifices, all those things. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Now listen to this verse. Listen to these words. Here's why Paul would say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the which will we are sanctified. Now listen, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Do you see it? Once for all. How were we sanctified? We weren't sanctified when you came forward. You weren't sanctified when you prayed the prayer. You weren't sanctified when you cried out for a second blessing. Sanctification took place when Christ died on that tree. No wonder Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, looking at it, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For, do you see that next word? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you see it? So when he died on that tree, he sanctified a people. He sanctified a people when he died on that tree. And when he sanctified a people, he perfected a people. No wonder Paul would cry out, "But God forbid, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but here's what avails, a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Oh, what a glorious thing. To boast only in Christ. You got the right to boast in Christ if you believe Him, if you trust Him, if you take God at His word, if you rely upon God and the record He gave of His Son. But here's number six. Here's why Paul would say, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen to what the way Peter put it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to what Peter said that Christ did when He died on that tree. And then we'll see why Paul would say, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3 verse 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." Isn't that a glorious thing? That He might bring us to God. But here's how did He do that? Look at it. That He might bring us to God. How did He do that? Being put to death in the flesh. Do you see it? But quickened by the Spirit. No wonder Paul would write with these astounding words, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Huh? Do you believe God? Do you believe the record that God Almighty gave of His Son? Do you believe that what God has written through His apostles and through the prophets concerning Jesus Christ? Do you believe that when He died on that cross, He actually accomplished some things? Not that He made anything possible. Not that He came to give men and women a second chance. No, no, that He accomplished something. But here's something else. Number seven, He purged sins. When He died on that tree, Hebrews chapter 1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Oh, do you see it? Oh, do you see it? You see why Paul would say, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ"? That's why. And not only that, here's number eight. And this is but a short list of a very long list of things that Christ accomplished on Calvary. But listen to what He made peace. Do you hear me? He made peace. According to Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says these words in verse 13. He writes, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Oh, do you hear it? Do you hear the glorious declaration of the Word of God? These are just a few reasons why the Apostle Paul would write, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen to me. May it be that God gives you ears to hear this morning. May it be that God Almighty will open up the scriptures unto you, that it will open up your eyes, that you can hear the glorious truth of Christ. The only people who will glory, that is, boast in, joy in, and rejoice in Christ alone, are those who are a new creature in Christ. You see it? It's not circumcision. Nothing has nothing to do with anything a man does. He says in verse 15, "But a new creature. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." It's a creation. The Creator must act. God Almighty must act. And when He does, then these people will walk according to this rule. That work is a work of God. It's a work of the sovereign creator of heaven and earth. And as God sovereignly created the physical heavens and the earth, God Almighty spiritually creates a people that follow and bow to and boast in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. They and they only have peace pronounced upon them. They and they only. Do you see it? And as many as walk according to this rule, not just hold to it slightly, believe a few things about it, and they walk according to this rule. This is their way of life. It's what it's all about for them. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Well, that's God's elect amongst Israel, the true Israel. Israel, the true Israel of God. There is no debate about this. There is no debate. Paul said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had suffered for this very truth. Why? Because self-righteous, religious men and women hate the Christ of God and his cross work. And they preach, maybe not circumcision, but they'll preach anything other than Jesus Christ, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And that's exactly what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. This is the question. Here is the question. The question that I should ask myself. The question that I ask you, and may it be that God calls you to ask yourself. Here's the question. In what? But even more. Not just in. In what? Yes. But that's not quite it. In whom do you boast? In whom do you boast? Paul is clear. God forbid I boast in anything other than Jesus Christ and his cross work. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the only boast. Do you rest in him? Do you trust him? Do you believe the record that God gave his son? I've given you 8 things this morning. My question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God meant what he said and that Christ accomplished what he did? I pray, God, that you do.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.